Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Architecturally, the Vegas Strip is the most unique city in the world. With luxury hotels sharing space with a medieval castle, a pyramid, and various other themes, there truly is no place like Las Vegas. But that's just what came to fruition. That doesn't take into account the Vegas that could have been. From approved projects that never saw the light of day, to some pretty unique concepts that barely made it off the drawing board. This is what we are calling Lost Vegas. This week, we'll be discussing Moulin Rouge. Okay, let's start by addressing the elephant in the room. Las Vegas was racist. Really, really racist. Not Alabama bad, but Las Vegas was known as the Mississippi of the West, and I'm certain it wasn't a compliment. But it didn't start out that way. In 1905, when the city was established, blacks and whites worked together to build the town. Fast forward to the 1950s, and racism was rampant in Las Vegas. It's believed, at least in some part, that Vegas became racist because of the Southern millionaires that invested in the city in the 50s. Whatever the reason, the result was segregation and Jim Crow sensibilities. Black Las Vegans were not allowed in predominantly white neighborhoods for no other reason than their race. According to journalist James Goodrich, the whites of Las Vegas overwhelmingly supported racial prejudice and made no bones about it. Jobs were hard to find for a black person in Vegas, and the jobs that they could find in the casino industry were menial and paid a poverty wage. Black entertainers were hired to perform at the properties, but once they were done performing, they were not allowed in the casino or hotel. Sammy Davis Jr., Lena Horne, Count Basie, Nat King Cole, and many more were forced to find lodging someplace else. A practice that some of the biggest names used, like Josephine Baker, was to have it in her contract that said she could stay at the property, but must remain invisible. The fact was, blacks weren't welcome in most places in Vegas, except the West Side, where the city's primary black population lived without paved streets, running water, or sewage lines. Vester Heath saw the need for a fully integrated hotel casino. So with a group of white investors, he raised $3.5 million and built the Moulin Rouge, located at 900 West Bonanza Road. When it opened May 24th of 1955, it was the first fully integrated hotel casino in the United States, and just as opulent as anything available on the Strip. It was an immediate success, reversing the flow of traffic in Vegas. Now white performers were no longer sticking around the properties on the Strip after their sets were complete, choosing to head over to the Moulin Rouge instead. In a very Rat-Packian way, you never knew who was going to get up on stage at the Moulin Rouge and perform. It was so popular, the Moulin Rouge added a third show at 2:30 a.m. White casino owners considered it an insult when well-known white stars decided to spend their time at the Moulin Rouge. In retaliation, Strip properties added exclusivity clauses to performers' contracts, forbidding the entertainers from going to the Moulin Rouge and performing. Before the Moulin Rouge, black tourism was a non-existent concept. The result of opening the property was a vibrant nightlife for blacks. Moulin Rouge consisted of two main stuccoed buildings, 110 rooms, a gorgeous showroom, swimming pool, restaurant coffee shop, a dress shop, and bar that was constructed of highly polished and expensive hardwoods. Almost overnight, the popularity of Moulin Rouge grew exponentially, attended by politicians, celebrities, and high rollers. People who attended commented how extraordinary the place was with its successful integration of blacks and whites. It was awe-inspiring, something like a religious experience. Despite its initial success, Many didn't expect much from Moulin Rouge. Some believed it to be more of a curiosity, mingling whites and blacks together. When it closed, the black community was outraged and voiced their disappointment. So why did the property close 6 months after a very successful opening? There are many theories. White owners of the Moulin Rouge didn't secure enough funding to keep the doors open. Another reason is skimming. Some simply blamed having a bad location. Rumors of racist owners banding together to blackmail affiliates like the liquor distributors, threatening to take their business elsewhere if they did business with the Moulin Rouge. But the reason for the impromptu closing is simple. Their costs were larger than their revenue. By December of 1955, Moulin Rouge had to declare bankruptcy, and racist segregation went back to normal. Well, not really. The Moulin Rouge became a symbol representing the need for racial integration in the city. The oppressed had become galvanized, and when a boycott marched out...
We hope you've enjoyed this premium content preview. For access to the rest of this episode, as well as all the premium content we offer, go to patreon.com/360Vegas. A monthly subscription will give you access to the enhanced version of the podcast, often with bonus content, exclusive podcasts like 360 Vintage Vegas, 360 Origins, 360 Vegas Movies, insider information on all things 360 Vegas, 360 Vegas Vacation, and early access to everything. To subscribe, simply go to patreon.com/360Vegas. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Or you can find a link to Patreon on our blog, 360VegasPodcast.com.